Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Well, I just mentioned that I'm president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association, and some of you might not be aware that in the last year, we took a very significant step. We merged with the Kauffman Interfaith Institute. And by merged, I mean to say that we still are an organization, but we have become a program affiliate. The Kauffman Interfaith Institute is housed at Grand Valley State University. And for years, we have been teaming up on various projects. And not long ago, I had a conversation with the director, Dr. Doug Kinchy, and I said, you know, maybe we should really combine forces. And we have. So over the past few months, we have been completing a merger of sorts. Now, Kauffman does many wonderful things, and one thing that it does in particular is that it trains interns in the field of interfaith. And I thought recently, you know, we've never had any of these interns in here to talk about the program, and I think it's a really quite impressive program. So I asked Allison Garstecki, who is a student at Aquinas, who is currently an intern here at Kauffman, to talk a little bit about just exactly what she's been doing, the challenges, the frustrations, and the rewards of working in interfaith on a formal basis through a college. Allison is a major in biology for secondary education, and we welcome her to Common Threads. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Fred. Thank you so much for having me today.
Sure, sure. How long have you been an intern?
I have been an intern since August of last year.
Okay. That's right. And we met at an informal dinner, right, that was put on by Kauffman, introducing the interns to the people who are involved in Kauffman. So that was a nice way to get to know all of you. My first question, we who have been involved in interfaith activity for decades are now looking at the next generation coming up. And we've been curious, what motivates millennials and Generation Z in interfaith? Is it the same thing that motivated us who really became involved, say, in the late 80s, early 90s, and all of that? Now, before you answer this question, think about this. There are some controversies, say, that my generation has been discussing for a number of years that really aren't as controversial in your generation. So, for instance, the whole thing on LGBTQ rights. We have all these discussions and these arguments and these policies regarding gay rights. And you talk to the average person your age, and they go like, well, duh, of course, what are you talking about? Why shouldn't gays be able to do this, that, and the other thing? I've got five friends who are gay. I've got one friend who's transgender. I know all about this stuff, and you guys are making a mountain out of a molehill because people are just people. They're born this way. Now shut up. That is what I get from people in your generation. And God bless you for the progressive stand that most of you are taking. And I realize I'm generalizing, and you may have friends that are totally on the opposite side, but not many, statistically not many. So I'm wondering, in interfaith, yes, there's been significant controversies. Yes, there's been discussions and arguments, and people in some churches or other houses of worship or religion say, no, 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 you can't even talk to those people. No, you shouldn't get involved in interfaith and all this stuff. My question to you is interfaith, as you've seen it, I'm not asking you at this moment to represent your entire generation. That will come later. But in this moment right now, would you say that interfaith activity is kind of a, well, duh, issue, or is it a,
No, there are still complications. People still discuss things and argue things, and some people just say, that's not something I want to be involved with. Take it away, Allison.
Sure, thank you. So you touched on a lot of really good points. I think that with the philosophy of the Interfaith Youth Corps, founded by Eboo Patel, and that philosophy is something that we as interns with Kauffman are following, and a lot of universities around the country, which house students of my generation, will appeal to as far as learning about interfaith. We'll look at the philosophy of the Interfaith Youth Corps, which is this triangle, which the points of the triangle are relationships, knowledge, and attitude. And so our generation may have a particular attitude about a certain group, such as you mentioned, the LGBT community. If there's a certain attitude, the importance is creating relationships. And you'll find that people in my generation that practice interfaith or are involved in interfaith in, I guess, the right way or the way that we've learned as far as the Interfaith Youth Corps, we will take the attitudes regardless of what they are and create those relationships. So there's a lot of people that will seek those relationships, or if they have those relationships, they're very open to, you know, be yourself and different things like that that are important, I guess, in my generation. Not speaking for the entire generation, but I think then with those relationships comes more knowledge about specific groups of people, which then creates a more open-minded nature. So it's kind of like this cyclic or triangular philosophy that the Interfaith Youth Corps has.
But you have to have a certain attitude to even be interested in it, right?
Right.
I mean, so what encouraged you to say, I want to be involved in interfaith activity?
I think that interfaith is essential in our day and age, with a lot of current issues such as Islamophobia and religious intolerance. I think it draws people in my generation, especially myself, because I am working toward creating a more peaceful world. And I'm thinking, how can I do that in my own personal life? And I believe relationships are the key, especially in interfaith, just having conversations, creating dialogue. And I'm seeing that Doug Kinchy and everyone with the Kauffman Institute, as well as yourself, find importance in relationships as well. So I'm seeing a connection between the generations in that way. But as far as personally, the reason I'm involved in interfaith is because I am taking interest in celebrating the differences. I love learning about other traditions and bringing my full self to the table in those conversations.
If I'd had a conversation with Allison, say, 3 or 4 years ago, would I have gotten a similar answer in terms of motivation? 3 or 4 years ago, you would have been in high school, right?
Right. About four years ago.
Four years ago, you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you have any contact with interfaith in your high school?
I did not. I went to a Catholic school in the Detroit area. It wasn't that I was against interfaith or against getting to know other traditions, but I just wasn't aware. I wasn't aware of anyone that was really different from me. As I looked around, everyone was the same.
What was it that piqued your interest? How did you get involved in interfaith at Aquinas?
Well, I had our campus minister, Eric Bridge, asking for someone to represent Aquinas with the Kauffman Institute. And, you know, President Juan Olivares and Chad Ganot were also important in bringing Kauffman to Aquinas, and they were seeking an intern, someone who was interested in interfaith. I didn't know I was interested in interfaith until I learned more and more about it and thought, wow, this is definitely something important.
Were you already involved in campus ministry other than just being a Catholic?
Yes, I was involved in campus ministry. I attend retreats and service learning trips and different things like that. And service learning, actually going to different areas in the country, had really piqued my interest in different cultures. Even if it's in my own country, I was seeing the culture in Appalachia. I was seeing a culture in New Orleans. And so seeing those different cultures sparked my interest in other differences, such as religion and race and gender differences and all of those different things. So I feel that interfaith is a huge part of that.
Oh, so you spent some time in New Orleans through service learning. Mm-hmm. Was this, was this like ethnic studies on Mardi Gras?
We weren't there for Mardi Gras.
You weren't?
No,
why
there
else
were,
would you go to New Orleans?
Well, there were beads, definitely. Actually, if you looked around in the sidewalk cracks, there's Mardi Gras beads just kind of like ingrained in them, which is cool. But we went down there to work with St. Peter Claver Catholic School, which is an African-American Catholic parish, which was great to see the intersectionality of Catholicism and African-American culture. Mm-hmm. That was excellent to see. It was very exciting. We got to work with the children at the school.
Oh, wonderful.
It was great.
Wonderful. So clearly this was paving the way for you to be more interested in other cultures. And usually other cultures means other religions, oftentimes, not always.
Yep, absolutely. I think that a word that's thrown out in the interfaith world is intersectionality. So, you know, the convergence of all of the different aspects of our identities coming together, and our faith tradition or our non-religious tradition is a huge part of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. A lot of people, and this is kind of new in interfaith, really, the idea of the non-believer, if you will.
Sure.
Interfaith used to mean all the time people who had a particular religious practice and or belief, and they would be involved, if they wanted to be, in interfaith, connecting with people of different religions. And then all of a sudden, in some circles, and we really are fortunate in Grand Rapids, because some communities, they have nothing but angry atheists, people who just want to talk everybody out of having a religious preference or orientation. And here in Grand Rapids, we have a very focused, friendly, secular community. And basically, they knocked at our door saying, hey, we want to be a part of this too. We want to prove that we can be just as serviceful. We want to prove that we can be just as moral and ethical. So did this open up a new door for you, meeting, since you went to a Catholic high school, mm-hmm. I'm assuming raised in a Catholic milieu in
yes.
the Detroit area, that you would meet people who claimed not to have a religious faith?
Right. Yep. I avoided that group, I would say, in high school and different things. But now being involved in interfaith has really, really opened my eyes. The Center for Inquiry in Grand Rapids, their work with service, they host different service events. And I think that something great about interfaith is that some people, especially in my generation, I'm finding working with students, is that they're not really sure where they fit in the puzzle as far as faith. They were raised in a certain tradition. They're not sure how they fit in that tradition, but they definitely have either a spiritual or moral conviction to serve others. And that's been great to see. And I've really learned a lot as far as that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads here on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and today I'm speaking with Allison Garstecki, and we're speaking about the Kauffman Interfaith Institute intern program. So did you ever have this idea that interfaith meant that you would have to compromise your theology and perhaps take a stand that was antithetical to your Catholic upbringing?
That's a great question. I think that's definitely valid. I've had students that have wrestled with the idea because of that. But I always share my account of going to various places of worship and visiting and creating conversation and dialogue has really made me more proud of my Catholic identity. It has made me more interested in learning about my tradition so I can share them with people. I found agnostics and Muslims, especially Eboo Patel, actually speaks to the fact that a lot of their interfaith leaders, a lot of people in interfaith that they look up to, are of the Catholic faith, such as Dorothy Day. And that has been so inspiring. And I'm thinking, wow, I need to look up more on Dorothy Day. All of these people are so interested in her, and she's part of my tradition. I need to learn more. You know, I want to share more. And that has been great. It has made me really proud.
But in the that's wonderful. But in the beginning, were you concerned that if somebody approached you again, Allison, 4 years ago, and said, okay, do you want to be involved in interfaith? Did you have that stereotype in your brain? Or by the time somebody approached you, did you already know what interfaith was and how you didn't have to necessarily compromise your theology or your practice or anything else?
I think it's natural to have those misgivings. I think that if I was in a place about 3 years ago, I would say I would be afraid of my identity being compromised, my Catholic identity. It's easy to see all of these traditions and see, wow, this is all very interesting. I can imagine people and myself being concerned about maybe shifting toward being interested in a certain tradition. But I'm learning now that interfaith is about bringing your full self to the table. At first, yeah, I would say that I was concerned about losing my Catholic identity. But I don't really have any misgivings about that anymore at this time.
So. By the way, I know this is your second time on the radio. Am I correct? You were here at WGVU with the morning show and being interviewed by Shelley Irwin?
Yep.
Well, I would expect that probably throughout your career, especially working in this field of interfaith, you may very well be invited to radio shows and television shows and podcasts and alike, okay? Just note, piece of advice, when somebody does ask you a question and you begin the answer by saying, well, that's a great question, you increase your chances of getting asked back.
Okay.
So smart move on your part.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about the work that you have done so far for Kauffman in the past few months.
Sure. Yep. So with Kauffman, the routine is Katie Gordon, the program director at Kauffman, will meet with the interns, Derek Zuvrink and Megan Bojema of Calvin College, Derek being of Grand Valley. And we've met biweekly discussing kind of what we've been doing on our own campuses with the goal of integrating our campuses and creating service events and different outings in order to bond the campuses and create kind of a West Michigan coalition of interfaith. We actually have a Facebook page for that. So we've been meeting and kind of working on our own campuses. So at Aquinas, we first had Eboo Patel speak in October. And then after that, we had our first day of service through Rays of Hope International, where we had students serve at the organization and sort medical supplies. And then we came back and had some dialogue about service and what that means to them coming from their personal tradition. And so that was great. And so we moved on from there and created some small groups, which meet biweekly. The small groups are designed by myself and a couple others who are part of the planning team. And so we create ways to discuss shared values of service, hospitality, and different things. So that progressed on into the winter semester. And then we also are doing a panel coming up here next week, featuring yourself and one of our campus ministers and other people from the community. So that's going to be great. And also we have Better Together Day, which we just participated in. That is a day put on by the Interfaith Youth Corps. And that is the national day for interfaith, basically. And so what we did for that is create a booth at Aquinas and have students come and participate in an online sharing.
You shared?
Yeah, exactly.
They shared?
So the interfaith...
Wait, hold on. Let me back up.
Okay.
A little bit. So you say recently the name of the event was Better Together.
Yes.
You had a booth. So this isn't some sort of community function where various people with various causes have booths. You had a booth alone, am I
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
At Aquinas.
Yep.
The community center, what, Weggie?
It was in our academic building.
Academic building.
Students were passing by and we just said, hey, have you heard of Interfaith yet? That today's Better Together Day. Would you like to participate in an online forum where they would share their name and then a quote from their tradition? And so the Interfaith Youth Corp put that on, and so far I think they've had over 2,000 responses nationally, and so that has been really interesting. And every response, the Interfaith Youth Corp donates $2 to the International Rescue Committee for Refugees, so that was a great experience for students.
And so you were there, you manned this booth for a couple hours at least?
Yep. I had some of my planning team involved, but I was there for most of the day.
So you have a team.
Right. Yes.
These are all Aquinas students.
Yep. Just myself and two others.
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
And did you recruit them or did Campus Ministry recruit them?
So these students, Campus Ministry recruited Kasia Sainer, and she was Better Together. She was involved in the Interfaith Leadership Institute in August, and so she kind of got involved and then asked me to get involved, and then I ended up applying for the intern position. So we've been kind of working together.
I see.
And then another woman was watching the Eboo Patel talk and immediately emailed me and said, hey, I would like to be involved. And so that's kind of how that team emerged.
That's great.
My hope is that the team will increase next year and kind of have different sections of community outreach and small group discussion planning. So
I'm curious, what was the reaction? You stopped people who were just passing in the halls. Some of them, I'm sure, just in a hurry to get to the next class. A few other people might have a minute or two to spare. How many people, what would you say percentage-wise, just pull it out of the air. What was the percentage of the people whom you asked and who participated?
Right. So the great thing about Aquinas is that it's so small and we have a great community. So generally I would be working with someone else who knew many others. And so we would ask people that we knew, and then those people would come over, and then they would see their friends would see them and come over. So it was kind of like a community effort. But the people that I've asked personally that I didn't know, I would say most came and participated. I said, really quickly, could you share a little bit about what inspires you? And I think that people kind of have to think about that a little bit. But yeah, I didn't have a lot of people turn me down, even if they looked like they're in a rush. So that
that's
great.
So when you say, tell us, share a quote from something or someone who inspires you, that isn't necessarily religious.
Correct. Yep. So we phrased it as share a verse, value, or personal belief that inspires you. So it's very open-ended.
Yeah, that is.
So
could you give us a guess? I hate to nail you down to a percentage, but you can answer however way you want. How many were religious in nature versus secular? I mean, somebody, and it could be, right, that somebody could be very religious, but on the top of their head was a quote from Shakespeare or Socrates.
Sure, absolutely. So I would say about 50% were, you know, scripture quotes and different things, and about 50% were simple phrases such as love each other, believe in yourself, which off the top of the head, you know, would, but some students would have a Bible verse on the top of their head and just write down the book and the number of where that Bible verse came from. And
oh yeah, that's great. You do have Protestants at Aquinas, don't you?
We do. Absolutely. So yeah.
Yeah, you don't ask your Catholic friends to do that.
We've got a couple who know the who know the
chapter
usual
and verse.
Ones.
I understand.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. That's
yep.
great. Good, good. So once you did this, you everybody went online. Am I correct?
Yep.
Did they enter it themselves?
Right. So we had it was a two-part thing. We had a banner that said what inspires you, and then we had some technology. We had an iPad and some other laptops for people to input online their quote. So it was kind of while they were waiting for a technology to use, they were writing on the banner. So that's how we kind of kept them there.
And I'm just curious. So
sure,
were there any quotes that were not secular but religious but not from the Judeo-Christian Bible?
So we had a few people quote Rumi, so different things.
I would say
that there were some Bible verses, there were a lot of simple phrases, but the quote from Rumi was great to see. The person wrote it in the darkest color marker, so it actually is the most prominent thing on the posters. So
excellent.
It's great. So.
Excellent. Well, listen, Allison, we are running out of time this week, but I have more questions, more conversation ready for you. So hopefully next week we'll be able to do the same thing.
Sure, I'm looking forward to it.
You've been listening to Common Threads. I'm Fred Stella, and we've been speaking about the Kauffman Interfaith Institute's internship program for local colleges here in Grand Rapids. My guest has been Allison Garstecki, and she will be with us next week. I hope that you will be too. This is WGVU-FM.